Hey, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Chris. We're the hosts of True Believers, a comic book podcast, our weekly show about all things comics.
Welcome to our 9th episode. In our last official episode, we went over part one of our two-part series on Marvel's What If, that new show that's out on Disney Plus. We unfortunately did part one a little bit earlier than we wanted to, but, you know, we're back on track, so it's okay. But in this episode, we are going to be turning our attention towards Marvel's movie, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
So, when the movie kicks off, bow, we're a couple thousand years ago. We find out that this really hot man finds 10 rings. We don't know how, because the woman with the very nice voice is like, maybe he stole them. They might have come from aliens, something like that. If you haven't noticed, Andrew might have real notes. I have vibes.
She said that he found them in a crater, though. So, you know, just like the 10 rings were found in a crater by the Mandarin, you know.
Well, he didn't find them in a crater. He found them in an alien spaceship.
You know that makes a crater, right? It's not going to casually land on Earth when it's in a crash.
No, I mean, it's different because, like, then, like, now it's like, oh, he just found them. But then it was like, I'm going to let this guy die and take them.
So he finds them in a crater, maybe? We don't know.
If they're mystic weapons that give the user immortality, powers beyond their wildest dreams. He amasses an army. He conquers everywhere. He gets wealth, strength, power. And then we shoot to the 90s. It's the year before I was born. He is searching for Ta Lo, of a mystic village somewhere in the jungle. Well, not the jungle, somewhere in the forest. So there's a magic forest. He's sitting there looking hot in his Jeep. They're driving around, and then the forest starts moving. When I tell you I was sick, it made my stomach hurt.
It was great, because, you know, you see the trees moving. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? I thought there was something in the bushes. I'm not going to lie.
Me too. But no, these trees were moving.
Yeah, no. Trees were moving around, though. It was pretty cool, though.
Oh, it was excellent. And then so he's in a Jeep with two other people. One of them looks like it's his like right hand or whatever, because you see them speaking before he decides he's going to go. And so damn the other two people in the Jeep.
Dude,
he uses 10 rings to blast a hole in the side and push himself up.
I know. I went with Angela when I saw this movie. I was like, damn, he did not give a fuck about these two guys, because the Jeep flies off the edge of a cliff and he just jumps out the Jeep in time. It was insane.
It's not even just that he jumped out the Jeep in time. It was that he sacrificed the other two, because he used the momentum of the Jeep flying and pushed up with the rings and like propelled them even faster off.
Yeah, he straight up just killed them.
I was like, wait, aren't you like immortal or something? But I guess you're only immortal like as in you won't age and die. It's not you're immortal as in you can't be killed and died. There's different types of immortality. So I was like, okay. So there's this beautiful woman outside of the village.
Beautiful, because she comes and saves him from the cliff. Well, not saves him, like he's sitting on the edge of the cliff and he's like, who's that?
And she does not save him, because he's walking there looking scruffy and disgruntled, and she's standing there like in front of, I think there was like a lake or like some kind of
a pond.
It was a pond. It was gorgeous. And she was like, you're not coming in our village. And he was like, I go where I want. So he pulled out these 10 rings and he really thinks he's doing something. When I tell you, this woman, she moves into action. She takes the tip of her foot.
The epitome of unbothered. When he pulled out the ring, she said, that's cute.
Well, she took the tip of her foot and made a little half circle. And when she folded that hand down, I said, oh, you finna get the business. So when I tell you she's using these rings, she's like, oh, you think this ring is finna hit me? Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. She threw her hat. She thought she was Odd Job from the friggin' James Bond movies. Like, she whipped that hat and he was like, oh my God, that hat almost hit me in my face. Somehow they end up falling in love.
This was one of the most beautiful fight scenes ever, though. Like, it was so fluid and effortless, and it was just gorgeous watching them fight. It was one of the best fight scenes I've ever seen in my life. The city of Ta Lo, they were very much, it was all inspired after Tai Chi, which is how she could move so fluid and like use everything that he threw against him, you know? And I just loved it. That's why it looked so good, because Tai Chi is like horrifyingly hard to master. Because of that reason, it's just using the opponent's momentum. That's just a fun fact. I saw the movie and I was like, is this Tai Chi? And then I looked it up afterwards and I was like, it is. That's why the mom could fight so well.
And that's why you should never mess with old people.
Old people, because it's always the old people that know Tai Chi, because it takes so long to master. But anyways, so first of all, this beautiful woman falls in love with this beautiful man. Then they have little babies.
And they're beautiful kids, because they were.
Beautiful kids. What even happened? She dies.
No, she gave them little necklaces and was like, remember, you know, she tells them all about Talo. She was like, yeah, you know, there was this thing that happened and our guardian gave us magic to protect us. And, you know, just know that the heart of our guardian lives in you as well. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, okay. And then the movie kicks off. It's like, bow.
And then it's fucking, what is it? 2021, I think, is what year it is.
I don't know.
And fucking Shang-Chi is just...
No, Sean, because he's moved to America. He lives in San Francisco now, and his name is Sean.
His name is Sean.
He is living his best life. When I tell you, he is waking up early to thirst trap, because when I tell you he's doing like a million push-ups, he is giving the girls and the gays everything that they want. He is a valet car park. He does not care. He's best friends with Katie.
Awkwafina. She had really good chemistry with Simu Liu.
I mean, so they were, when I tell you they were living their best life, they really were. Like, they had to go to work in the morning and they were getting off work. First of all, they were at work, valet car parking, and they were like speeding around in the cars, which is super irresponsible. And
super illegal.
They were going to karaoke until like 3 a.m.
Oh my God, I loved it. Because they were like, we have to work early in the morning. And then they say, except we could. And then they go fucking karaoke.
And then they show up. They show them in the morning. And so that's when he's like, okay, it's time to thirst trap again. It's time to go get Awkwafina at her home. And they show her family. Her whole family is all like, girl, why are you doing this?
Be something more. You're too smart to be just driving valet cars.
And like, even their even the night before, their actual friends were like, you guys are like the smartest people I know. They were like, Sean, you speak like four languages. Katie, like, you have a degree in this. And
from
then
Berkeley.
From Berkeley?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they were like,
actually, don't quote me on that, guys. I might be wrong about that.
Yeah.
But I swear it was Berkeley.
So they like go out and they're trying to go about their day. They get on the bus and somebody runs up on Sean. You can't see me air quoting, but I did. And they're like, give us your pendant.
Katie is like, what? He can't fight. He don't
look at
run
him.
Up on
he
him.
Fight.
Yeah. And then he does this really cool like martial arts stance. I don't know what this martial arts was based off of, but.
Wait, and tell me why they took Katie's whole face. Like, they cradled her. This man cradled her head in the palm of her hand, of his hand, and boom, threw her pop up against the window. To the point, like, it bounced off, and I was like.
Yeah, and that obviously pissed off Sean a lot. And it proceeds to be one of the best fight scenes in any Marvel ever, excluding that opening scene with the two hot people. That was
because
easily.
They ate that.
They did. It was just Sean versus, what was it, six different guys?
Yeah,
one guy didn't have a fucking arm. He had a sword.
When I tell you, he is literally fighting for his MFing life on this bus. Like, the bus driver gets hit in the head and he, like, passes out. So Katie has to, well, first Sean has to start driving the bus.
Yeah.
But then he has to, like, fight off all the people because they haven't stopped fighting. Like, they don't understand that we all on a bus with all these old people and random civilians.
Well, he's not only driving the bus, he's fighting while driving the bus. And she's like, get out of that seat. Let me just do this part. I can't fight, but
this.
I can drive.
Yeah. And then the bus gets cut in half. And this is a whole crazy scene. And they tore up all of San Francisco. Now, the part that makes this incredibly noteworthy is, I had to look this up, but there's this man who's narrating the fight. Like, this motherfucker is on Instagram. No, he's on Facebook Live.
God.
And he's like, I'm here.
He pulls out his phone and he says, what up? It's your boy Wise. Like, here I am on the bus. And look at this guy fighting. I did a little bit of martial arts when I was a kid, so I get it. But look at him.
He's
go.
Like, let me break down this fight. The part
it
that's
was
so funny,
hilarious.
Apparently that's the guy from Spider-Man who was like, Spider-Man, do a flip.
They had a bunch of Easter eggs in the whole movie. Like, there was even a part that said, like, post-blip anxiety, see us or whatever. So anyways, yeah, they're on the train. They're just kicking.
No, the
they're
bus.
Fighting. Bus, train, same thing. They're on the bus fighting. And then he even ends up on top of the bus at one point because they split it in half, Razor Fist did with his little sword. And then he's on top of the bus, and he's on the side of the bus, and he's doing all this. And I was like, bro, like, how many push-ups do you do a day to do that? Like, I would have flew off. And then Katie's driving the bus, and she's like, all right, we got to stop this thing. But the brakes get cut because of Razor Fist acting up. So what does she do to stop it? She runs over so many cars.
27
was like,
billion cars. Raising dude, everybody's insurance.
I was like, what if somebody's just waiting outside for their friend and then here this train comes or bus comes and just like that person's dead.
Hope they're smart enough to flip over to the other side. So she crashes into the side of like a garbage truck and uses the garbage truck's like brakes to like slow them down. They slowly slow all the way down. And we're like, okay, we're safe. So they're all sitting there looking fucking stupid because not only did Sean make sure the rest of the bus was cut in half, he kicked all of them people onto the other side. So they're like
all
way
the
far
bad
behind.
People. Yeah.
Yeah, all them villains. They like 27 blocks back.
First of all, that was a great moment too, because he like fucking springs off of this guy's chest and like springs to the front of the bus. Like it was amazing. Like
and first of all,
you,
the way
in this
that he
movie,
made sure everybody was safe too, because he was like, "Everybody gets in front of the bus," and I was like, "Don't announce your plans."
But he did it though,
and did.
And those fights again, beautiful. Some of the best fights.
This one arm motherfucker snatched Joe Shane.
He did, got that little green pendant right off his neck. I was like, I missed that part. I'm telling you, I don't know when that happened, but it happened.
But the fact that they just calmly walked out of the bus, like, motherfucker, you got a machete on your arm. You have a machete arm.
Right. I feel like the other five people were at least dead, but Razor Fist survived.
I thought they all walked out. Saying. They didn't.
Sean just got a letter postcard from his sister. He thanks. So he's like, all right, I got to go get my sister because she has the other pendant and they're obviously coming for pendants because they just took mine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So then he goes to, it's China, I think he goes to, right? China.
He goes to Macau. They're on the plane ride over. And she's like, who are you? And he's like, I got to go to China, you know, to get my sister. Like, she's in danger. And he's like, who are you? And he's like, my name isn't really Sean. No, duh, bitch.
This was one of the funniest moments in this scene or movie, too. Because she's like, it's Shang-Chi. And she's like, you went from Shun to Shang or Shang to Sean. Same fucking name, basically. Like, you know.
You know what? Like,
what if I went from my name was Gina to Gina? It's the same thing. And that part took me out. She said Gina. So, so they're like on the plane. He tells the whole backstory. Basically, his dad, like the comic book, sent him to go kill one of his enemies, and he doesn't. He just runs away from home at that point.
He was like, I was 14. And she was like, you were 14? But then they're on the plane, and this flight attendant is like, okay, so what kind of dinner are y'all going to have? We're out of the chicken, so do y'all want vegetarian or beef? And then they're like, oh, I'll have vegetarian. And then Sean, well, right now he's Sean again. So he's like, yeah, I'll have vegetarian too. And then she's like, ooh. Looks like we're out of vegetarian, so what would you like? He's like, she's like, well, we'll have the beef because that's all that's left. And he was like, yeah, beef for me too. Like, bitch, if you out of this shit, why would you even make me dignify that with a response?
It's the fact too that she asks that she's like, well, obviously I want the beef. That's all you have, right? And then she's like, okay. And then she asks Shang too. She's like, what would you like?
Like, bitch, you did it twice. You to get out of my fucking face at this point, bitch.
While he's trying to tell the story of like, oh yeah, my dad sent me to go kill somebody.
Because like the score is already up. We're in flashback mode. The lights are off. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden here this bitch is, what dinner would you like? Bitch, that's the last thing on my mind.
See, okay. So this is a thing that I hated about this movie actually, is that it was a really, really good movie, right? But Marvel does this thing where they do flashbacks to explain everything and it drives me nuts. Like if they didn't do that, I would have forgot this was a Marvel movie, but...
No, actually, I think the flashbacks work really well. I don't know if it's because this is like a martial arts movie, but like they do that. That's a thing. So it made sense to me.
It makes sense. Marvel just does it in every single movie. It's the only way they know how to tell movies. And it's like, can we just be a little bit more cohesive with our timeline? Like, let's just be a little bit more linear than jumping everywhere. So that was like one of my only beefs with this movie, is that they did that shit again. I was like, stop. Like,
this was like one of the only times it's ever like made sense or been relevant.
But yeah, anyways, so now they're in China and he's looking for his sister. They go up into this really decrepit looking building, but then that door opens and it's like nice in there a little bit. It's a little bit factory-ish. Yeah.
They ask him to sign these papers and he's like, he's like, oh yeah, okay. He didn't look at the papers or nothing. And he's like, I'm looking for my sister. Her name is
Zhu Xiaoling.
Yeah.
And then he's like, all right, if you want to see her, you have to sign these papers. And he's like, I bet.
Wait, no, he says he signs the papers without reading them. And then he asks about his sister. And then they're like, oh, never heard of her.
I don't even think he said anything. He just turned around and like just.
No, he said, I don't know her or something. He acknowledged that. And then they get out and there's this man who is like aggressive. And he's like, hey, yeah, you know, here we got this underground fight club. Da, 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 da. He, you know, he's talking all his noise. And he's like, bus boy.
He's like, you were the guy fighting on the bus. I saw that video, which had over 2 million views within 24 hours. Good for you, Sean.
He was like, yeah, have you seen my sister? And the guy is like, no. He's like, my sister sent me something from this address. He was like, unlikely.
And he's like, all right, you ready to fight? And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, those papers you just signed. And he's like, ah, fuck, I have to do this.
And they got all these cages all around. And he's like, okay, so you don't have to fight these cages because we all saw what you could do. You know, you ain't got to qualify yourself. So you're going right up there. And then you see freaking Abomination versus Wong.
Who'd ever thought that Wong was going to be so popular in all the Marvel movies?
Me, I didn't see that coming. Because everybody should support. I just feel like everybody should support him. Now we know where Wong really be at when he be missing from everything.
Wong beats the fuck out of Abomination by using a portal for Abomination to punch himself and knock himself out. Fucking hilarious.
It was. And then they're like, okay, we're going to take you to the back room now, Shang-Chi, and like get you ready. Then so he walks out, and then tell me why they took off his shirt. And
that was funny because he just says, like, when they're back there, he's like, take off your shirt. And he's like, why? He's like, just take off your shirt. And I was like, I get it.
But then she's looking up at him and he's like, hey, and she's like, where's your shirt? He's like, and then, like, that was such a funny moment because
she was checking him out.
First of all, who wouldn't be? Second of all, you like, that's your best friend. You don't know he looked like that.
Maybe she was just like, I never looked at him that way before, but now that he's in this giant ring, because when I tell you that this was a circle above them, like they were just fighting a giant circle cage, like floating. It was badass.
And then a woman walks out, right? And when I tell you, she was like, what's your name, B.O.B.? So they calling you Bob? Stop playing, because you know that I'm known for the Bob. Like, that Bob was on hit the whole movie. That's his sister.
Was one of the best Bobs I've ever seen. This girl was killing it. Like, first of all, her costuming in every scene was amazing. And then she was just gorgeous, too.
He's like, oh, my God, sister. And she is, like, on go. She's like, bop, bop, bop. She's beating the hell out of him. And then eventually, he's like, you know, I'm not going to fight you. Stupid mistake. Because she whipped that leg up and was like, bop. Okay, tell me why I'm on the Wikipedia now, because I had a thing I was going to say. It said that Simu, he was knowledgeable in Taekwondo, gymnastics, and Wing Chun, and he learned and trained in Tai Chi, Wushu, Muay Thai, Krav Maga, Jiu-Jitsu, boxing, and street fighting for the movie.
Holy shit.
Simu, in June, he put out a little unofficial pronunciation guide for a lot of the names, like of the cast and the characters, and he said that we're supposed to pronounce Shang-Chi as Cutie Pie. So.
Oh, yeah, we've been saying his name wrong.
My apologies to Cutie Pie.
But anyways, so
Cutie Pie gets his shit rocked by his sister, Shai Ling. She put the motherfucking paws on him. And then they go up to an office, like, to speak to, like, the boss of the establishment. And she sits in a chair behind the desk. And he's like, oh, my God, this is you? And she's like, yeah. You know, when you get abandoned and you got to make a way, you make a way. And I was like, oh, damn, not her on your neck. So.
Period.
And they bring Katie up from the crowd. Tell me why Katie is holding a handful of money. And they had previously discussed payments with that man, the really aggressive one who was calling.
I actually wrote down this exact quote because she says to him, what's our cut? And then Shang says, it doesn't matter. And then she said, oh, it matters.
Wait, but then he was like, oh my God, Katie, you bet against me? And
because she had stacks and stacks and stacks of money with her. Like,
when I say it was a thick stack, and the part that really made me laugh about the whole sequence was that really aggressive man, I didn't bother to put he had weird hair. I didn't bother to commit his name to memory, but when it was Wong versus Abomination and Wong won, he was like, I always bet on Asian.
So yeah, but at this point he's like, okay, so you sent me a postcard, so I knew you were here. And she's like, no, I didn't.
She's like, fuck you, I didn't send you shit. I didn't send you shit.
And then he pulls it out, and then she's like, no, I didn't send this, but I think I know who did. And then, bam. just fucking people start busting in the building. Just
like they're coming from the ceiling, they're coming from the doors,
from the floor, from the windows, everything to the wall. Busting up everywhere. And then he turns around because he's looking up and he's like, where are these people coming from? And then like he turns back around and she's in a secret hidden door behind the wall and she just closes it in his face. I was like, okay, she's a little angry. I get it. But we don't know why she's mad yet. Mm-mm. And then he's like, fuck. So what does he do? He busts a window open and he jumps out the window with Katie onto like these little, what would you call them? Like scaffolding?
They're like those temporary wooden stakes that they put in the ground. I don't know how to explain it, but like basically it looked like it was supposed to be some kind of addition to the building, and it's the stuff that they do when they're preparing to add on. But so
it's
they're
like
just
that one movie with Jackie Chan and
are you talking about Rush Hour?
You know, yes, that's the one. You know how they're fighting outside the building on like that stuff? It was the exact same thing, but this one was a lot better.
So he tells Katie about his past, you know, Shaolin. They're having a whole fight in Macau.
Outside a building.
Like, he's inside. He's like, Katie, I'll get to you as soon as I can. First of all, he's like, this is the only way. No, it's not the only way, because they're after you, not me. When I tell you if I was Katie, I would have just ran straight out. I'll meet you on the ground floor.
She started to run, though, and then, like, this guy came after her, and I was like, what did this girl do? Like, leave Katie alone. Awkwafina deserves better.
First of all, I'm not in this.
Yeah. But then, so he, like, swipes at her, and she, like, gets stuck on this giant bamboo pole.
And the pole is like splitting, it's tilting. Shung is doing everything he can to get to Katie because, you know, that's bestie. So he's like, ah, oh, Katie, rah, rah, rah. And then Shaolin comes out from nowhere and is like, whoop.
Saves her very last second. And then she starts fighting on like this, whatever this is, too.
She's like, okay, you got this, girl. So Katie keeps going. Runs up to Shung and they start fighting, like they're like back to back, we got this.
In
she was
tandem.
Like, you left me, and she said, and now you know how it feels. I was like, oh.
So her fighting, though, Zhu Xiling has some of the best fighting in this movie, other than like the mom, because the mom, like, period, that was it. That Tai Chi, it was amazing, but like, it's so good. Like, and how do you not see each other for 10 years and then you're still fighting in tandem like that?
And they, when I tell you, they were up until they get back in the building, right? They're on a different floor. And then what was that person called? I think it's the death dealer who, like, they showed them in the flashbacks. Training Shang-Chi. Yeah. And they got this mask on. The mask is kind of funky looking. I don't know.
Terrifying.
There's no way to describe the mask. But like, if you woke up and you saw that standing over you, you would never sleep again.
I would never be okay if I even saw that without waking up. Like, if I just walked into that and that guy was standing there, I would not have been
okay. Or like, he's standing at the end of the hallway.
That thing was terrifying. And he was terrifying too, because he starts beating ass.
They never talk. That's the thing that's scary.
But you see this look in his eyes, because you could see his eyes through this mask. And all you see is this look. And all he has is like, kill. Focus. That's like all you see. It's intense.
It's so terribly focused that you're just like, ah, damn. So,
I died.
He grabs the pendant off of Shiling's neck and is like, whoop, well, time to go. So, she's like, ah, oh, he's got the pendant. So, they're like racing through the building. Shang-Chi is like fighting them. They're like, ah, 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 ah. And then he throws a explosive at the window and is like, and I'm about to jump into this helicopter. And I was like, oh, damn. But Shung is like, no, you ain't going to this helicopter. So at this point, they're just on the floor scrapping. And then...
And again, this is also, again, when I said to myself, like, Shung just shows up, no weapons, anything. He prepares to fight bare knuckle. Like, it is what it is, you know? And this guy's got swords. And I was like, how do you still want to fight this guy who has nothing? And he's still ready. Like, if you show up to the fight with just your knuckles, I'm out.
I'm not fighting you. And the only thing I'm fighting you with is a gun.
Exactly. And Shang still would have won because that man was a badass.
Not against me.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
It's like the man I'm not finna be in fight range because I'm not getting where you could chase me. I don't know if you could black bullets with your arms. I don't know. Because
daddy can, with the 10 rings you can. We learned that.
And speaking of them 10 rings, they was around his body pulling him back. And then his dad shows up like, hello, son. And I was like,
First of all, the way he walked up into that room, though, totally calm, focused. I was like, that's even scarier than the mask guy. This guy just radiated like, can't be my ass energy. I know.
The whole movie.
I know. Tony Leung, just fucking destroyed that movie. I'm just saying. This role was like made for him, or he was made for this role. I don't know, but this was his movie.
He ate. Like, how you gonna come up in my movie and you try to eat? You ain't finna eat on my movie. You better stay hungry. If I was Seymour, I would have felt a little certain type of way, because you're not supposed to come into this movie. And when I tell you the fight, Shung looks up and he sees his sister being held by the men. He sees Katie being held by the men, the Ten Rings army. The fight goes out of him. Do you know what you have to have in your aura to make the fight go out of somebody?
I said this to Angela and I said, that's just power right there. That's all that is.
Wait, and then he grabs him by the back of the head and he presses their foreheads together in such a loving and affectionate gesture.
You're confused, because this entire point, up to this point, you were led to believe that this man is straight evil. Like, there's nothing good in this man. And then when he does that, it's like, okay, wait, hold on. Like,
first of all, your presence has made the fight go out of your children, both of them,
who are clearly superior fighters in every way. Every way. But then he's like, all right, time to go home, kids. And that's it. They go home.
You see them in the helicopter. Like, Katie's trying to talk to him. He's like, girl, this is not the time. Shh. And they have, this is such a, like, these are such weird scenes, because they show Shailene in her room with Katie. Then he's like, oh, razor fist, take the girls. I don't even think he ever says razor fist. He just kind of gestures, because he doesn't seem like the kind of man who would acknowledge razor fist as the name, like, at all.
Yeah, and razor fist isn't much of a man of many words either, you know. Yeah, but Tony Leung, or what was his name in the movie, Win Woo?
Yeah.
But Wu's not going to acknowledge that. Yeah, see, okay. Zaddy. So he's obviously supposed to be Fu Manchu, so I'm glad that Marvel was like, let's take away that racist name. He was both. He was an amalgamation of both. Yeah, because he makes that comment later on that I go by many names and whatever, and then he starts listing names, and they purposely left Fu Manchu out just because it was like horribly racist. Well, I assume that's what they did.
And I'm glad. No, so he starts explaining the whole Trevor Slattery thing. He was like, someone decides to appropriate my identity, but he doesn't know that me and my Ten Rings army are real. So of course I had to teach him a lesson. Like, and when I tell you, this whole scene is so terrifying, because he's literally like, Shailene, she hasn't said shit. She is sitting there quiet, pan-faced, eating dinner, minding hers. Shang-Chi is like, Dad, you are crazy. And Dad is like, shut up. And then he says this hilarious thing. It's like he just disregards everything that's going on and the environments. Like, he didn't read the room. He said, American girl, what's your Chinese name? And then he's like, and she tells him, and he's like, He's like, you know, your name connects you to everybody who came before. And, you know, it says a lot about who you are. He's like, my name is, he starts explaining the mom thing. And that was what you were talking about, where he's like, I have many names. This whole scene, when I tell you, we were all like, ooh,
the theater didn't cough. This was just a sign of power from Tony Leung's character. It was great.
He was just like, hush, I'm eating.
The way it was acted out was perfect.
He really did eat. He ate. And then from there, he's like, okay, so we're going to go to the side room. You know, I have this altar set up for their mom. You know, we're all going to look at it. So,
and that's when he starts saying some crazy shit. Like, crazy. He's like, I hear your mother's voice. They're like, Dad, he's dead. And she's like, nuh-uh. I hear her voice. She's talking to me from the beyond. She's in this portal thing.
She's like, she's not dead. She's in Ta Lo. They have her locked behind the gate. And I was like, what?
And then proceeds to be one of the best visual moments in this movie.
Because he takes their two pendants and puts them in the eyes of the little dragon statue that was there, and the room fills with water, but it's coming from the sides and the water is like oil, and then all floating. Of a sudden the water oil hits the floor, and then it's trees.
It's amazing because this water is just floating everywhere, and it's kind of in slow motion almost, but everything, like, all the people, like, are in fast motion. Yeah, I don't know how you would even describe it. It's just gorgeous.
And when I tell you, this water, and this is the fastest sequence of anything happening, because as soon as the water hits the ground, it forms the trees start moving in a pattern, and then it all just falls onto the ground and like dissipates.
Once every year, the forest will move in a certain way and like outsiders can get in. We didn't know about it, but now we know because we have your pendants. This was the path. Now we have a map, like, period. We know what we're doing now. And then who is it? I think it's Xiling that's like, Dad, you're crazy.
She says you're crazy, and Shang-Chi has the audacity to say, you can't do this. Like, and he's like, oh, not y'all trying to tell me what I can and can't do. They need to go. Put them in the dungeon.
And in two of the quickest movements possible, he flips them both over into like his little Ten Rings army. And they're like, okay, well, we can't win this fight. It was like two very quick movements. He throws them both across like a courtyard, basically.
And he was like, and then this is how you know that his mind is that he's being influenced or that his mind is deteriorating in some way. Because he tells like Razor Fist, he's like, you know, in a few days, we'll have their mother back. And it'll all be fine. And I was like, bitch.
And at this point, I was kind of under the impression that maybe the Ten Rings are making his lose his mind a little bit. Because he's been alive for, I think they said 4,000 years.
And the rings can't influence you. Like, they influence the Mandarin in the comic books. Since they're like the spirit, spirit of fallen Makluwans. And they're low-key like evil.
So I thought that's what was happening here. And that's kind of what they're leading you to believe. But here it goes. So now they're in this prison. Katie, Xiling, and Sheng all in this prison. And they start hearing noises from behind them because it's just kind of like a cave. It's like a big empty cave prison thing. And then Sheng's just like, let me go see what's back there. And Katie says, whoa, you're going towards the noise in this place? And who's back there, Christian? What does he find?
Freaking Trevor Slattery.
The imposter in Iron Man 3. Yes.
All I could think of was berries and cream, berries and cream. I'm a little lad who loves berries and cream.
This man lost his mind.
But he was doing like Hamlet or something. I knew he was definitely doing Shakespeare, but I wasn't paying attention to what he was doing because he's a Shakespearean actor. And he was like, oh my God, they were going to kill me, but I impressed them with my Shakespeare and now I'm doing 3 shows a week.
Like, and then Katie's like, you're a court jester, basically. Because they were going to kill him because of that.
Wait, and tell me why, Charlene, she just leaves. She's like, no.
Yeah, like, she literally goes, I'm not dealing with this, and just walked out. So then it's just Katie and Sheng talking to this crazy and ass
berries
man.
And cream, berries and cream. And then he's like, Katie is looking at him and he's like, she's like, oh my God, Sheng, your dad is crazy. And he was like, girl, I know. Why do you think I didn't live here?
And then this little creature, this thing literally looks like a walking butt with wings. Like, it doesn't even have a head. And then he walks out and they're like, where's his face? And then fucking Trevor Slattery's like, oh my God, you can see it too? I thought I was crazy.
No, the thing that was so funny about it is that it's like a real creature. Well, not, I don't know, real, but it's called a Hunden or a Hunden. I'm not sure which, but it's supposed to have no face. It's a legendary faceless being from primordial chaos or whatever.
That's a real thing.
In Chinese mythology, yes. Like, I looked it up because I was like, what is that booty face thing? No, Morris was actually kind of cute in like an ugly thing kind of way. Like, baby
when
Yoda.
He first walked out, that thing was terrifying. Like, ah! It was so ugly.
Ironically,
and scary.
The same way I felt about Baby Yoda. I was like, that thing is so hideous. It's cute though.
Morris kind of got a little bit cute later on, whenever. Because, okay, first of all, Trevor Slattery can talk to this thing, and this thing is just making little meep, 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 meep sounds. Like, it's not even making things. I don't know.
He's R2-D2.
Trevor Slattery speaks perfect Honduan. Is that what you called it?
It's like a Honduan or something. I don't know. Honduan?
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that pronunciation. But the fact that he's like, oh yeah, you know, Morris said that your dad was looking for Ta Lo and found him in the woods and like kidnapped him and brought him here. I was like, why would he do this?
And then he says, okay, but Morris can also get you to Ta Lo. And this whole time you're like, okay, so Trevor actually does speak flying butt, I guess. It's insane.
And then
this was one of the most insane moments.
The freaking walls explode and Xiling is like, hey, she's like, you know, dad has underground tunnels all over. That's how I escaped the first time. And I was like, y'all have underground tunnels, but y'all's like dungeon is right here in the underground.
Oh, that's because she's just a bad bitch through and through, you know. Yeah, nobody else would
have
figured that out.
Bad bitch to break the whole wall down. Let me not sleep on her. And so they go down to the garage, right? And out of all the cars they could steal, why do they hop their happy ass in Razor Fist silver BMW. Silver X3?
Yes. Which again says
ugly ass
razor fist down the side. And it's like
graffiti.
It's what are those sharp letters called in graffiti? Because it's like those sharp, pointy ones that are just disgusting and tacky, very 2001.
I don't know.
You get them on the shirt at Hot Topic.
But it looked like, yeah, exactly. It looked like an airbrush shirt.
Oh, it was horrible. And Katie's like, oh, that's the one. We're driving the BMW.
It's the fact that, like, they almost immediately get caught because Razor Fist is watching the cameras. He's like, that's my car!
And then it changes and they're driving. How do they even get there so quick? I don't know.
They're trying to meet the gate or whatever. And they're like, oh, well, actually, it's got a fingerprint scanner or whatever to get out. So we're going to have to deal with that while we deal with it. And they're like fighting in the cars. People are like jumping out at them. They're shooting weapons. Like they really have to, Shailene and Shang-Chi, they really have to like fight out the windows or whatever. They have to pull a guy into the windows to open the door and close it. They got people on motorcycles. They like, this is a whole, they thought it was Fast and Furious. This was like 10 movies in one movie, but it all had one cohesive plot. And I was very appreciative of that.
See, that was also a thing I had with this movie, is I feel like this should have been two movies just because there were so many things happening, but I don't blame anybody except the writers for that.
I
mean, don't get me
wrong, I liked it, but I felt like all the action sequences probably should have been cut about 2 minutes.
I don't. The action sequences were, like, perfectly choreographed. I loved every moment of them. But anyways, so now there's, like
I don't know. I felt like, I don't feel like the movie went long, you know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't feel like a long movie, but
it felt like a loaded movie. Like there was a lot of
There was a lot going on.
Yeah. Those are my only problems with this movie. Like, what did I say earlier?
The flashbacks. Oh, the flashbacks. Speaking of the flashbacks, there's one somewhere in here where, oh, okay. So they go and they're like driving out to Talo, right? And Morris, the little booty thing, is like, okay, so wait, his father. Wilmu also explains that it's a maze. And I was wondering, like, when I tell you at the beginning, I thought the forest was just attacking them. I didn't realize that it was shifting deliberately. I thought it was just closing in on them.
Yeah, I thought the same thing at first. But no, it's a maze. They're, like, it purposely changes so nobody can get through.
So Morris starts leading them through the maze. And then Trevor is, like, translating for Morris. And he's like, oh, you might want to speed up. Okay, on three, do a hard right, you know, three. And then so, like, it starts speeding up. And it's, like, terrifying. And they're like, what happens if we're not quick enough? And Trevor nonchalantly says, oh, Morris says the forest will eat us.
And this whole time, Katie is driving. She's stressing out. And then Katie, again, is the comedic effect in this movie. So her stressing out is fucking hilarious.
Bro, she
just is. But obviously, Nora, they get Cutie through. Pie,
Queen Bob, and fake ass Mandarin, and Booty Face. They're all in this car. And when I tell you, this is like the most stressful. And Fast and Furious is my favorite franchise of movies. When I tell you, I've never been more stressed about a car scene since Furious 7, where Brian and Dom drove that car through three buildings. I'm literally like, oh my god, this maze. When he said the forest would eat them,
the hell,
don't say that shit like it didn't matter.
Yeah, and also nonchalant, like, oh,
he says the forest is just gonna eat you,
sir. Don't tell me that while I'm stress driving, please.
First of all, why do we do this in a car? Because you know daddy has helicopters and shit. Why didn't y'all go in from overhead?
I don't think you can. Like, there has to be some kind of magic force field around it, right? Otherwise, they would have found the city by now. Somebody would have. Because it's on top of a mountain, like, and everything.
Either way, eventually. So they get through this. They get through this freaking waterfall, right? And then Talo is so gorgeous. Like, it really is, like, it's gorgeous. They had these, like, giant lion things. Mm-hmm. They were so pretty. They had these big-ass lizard horses.
And they were so pretty. Like, they were, like, this pretty greenish color. And they were They were sparkling, and I loved it. What made me mad, though, is, like, this is, like, a gorgeous place, as we just said, and they're just sitting there riding through with their car. I was like, you need to be walking.
Exactly.
You don't drive your car through this grass. Yeah, the hell? This is sacred land, probably. Like, you don't touch that. Whatever. But then they finally roll up to the city, and I'm like, okay, great. This is, like, a cute little city, you know? And then
it's like a village.
Yeah, it's beautiful. There's lions, giant lion creatures, all from, I assume that these are all from Chinese mythology and stuff too, right?
Oh,
I can't verify it. I haven't verified it, but I think so.
This is
going
to sound really stupid, but I literally never even considered that. But obviously, obviously that has to be what it is. Oh, and we never explained the Ty Lo thing. The whole reason why Wenwu even wanted to go there in the first place was because he heard that they practiced ancient martial arts like from the gods. And then obviously he got his shit rocked by the mom.
Because she did. She was floating around on air and stuff. Like,
she had the leaves, like nature had bit around her. When she kicked that foot back and then flipped that hand down, I was like, oh shit. But I'm not a martial arts expert. I just know that it was cool. When she flipped that hand down, like, it's going down. When I saw the hand, I knew it was going down.
I have to say, I'm also not a martial arts expert. Please don't listen to me, guys.
Okay, so they're in Ty Lo, right? And when I tell you everybody is Aggie, they're like, you need to get out. And they were like, we're the children of our mom, because I forgot their mom's name. Sorry.
Yingli.
And it was Tai Chi. You're right.
I know Tai Chi when I see it. Which is weird because I've never done Tai Chi in my life.
I was about to say, I did martial arts as a kid. So let me break down this fight.
I can do Tai Chi. I know how to flip my hand down too. Is he, you know, a Tai Chi expert?
What's next? Are you going to dip your foot back? Are you going to do the circle and hit that? Eh!
If I did that, you better just run, because if I've mastered that, it's done for everybody.
And so the villagers, like, they're literally coming here to save this village, because Wenwu is like, oh, so either we get your mom back or we're going to burn the village. He's like, well, what about the villagers who are living there? Like, they obviously are not going to let you come in and open this gate. He's like, oh, we'll burn their village to the ground. So that's the whole reason why they're even in Ty Lo. So we came to save y'all ass. And they're like, you need to leave. And they're like, we're the children of... And they're like, we don't give a damn whose kids you are. You need to get out. And then all of a sudden, who shows up?
Michelle Yeoh.
One of the greatest action stars of our time, Michelle Yeoh. And she's like, oh my God, I'm your auntie. Shut the hell up, y'all.
That's Ying Nan is her name, because she shows up just looking gorgeous, by the way. Like, come on, Michelle Yeoh. And first of all, like, these village soldiers, they have some of the best armor and weapons, which are like staffs with dragon scales at the end is what they later tell you it is. And they're like glowy.
She is like so happy to see them. Like, oh, your mother knew that you guys would come someday. So she asked me to prepare something for you. And it's these like this beautiful armor made of dragon scales. And they have like a shrine to the mother and to Yingli. And they were like, oh, here, the people who we love, they don't leave us. They're all here. These are all our fallen people. And I'm like, oh, this is nice. She explains the story of like the dweller in darkness who came from beyond the gate and like tried to take over the world, like our world, by coming through Ty Lo, and how they were losing the fight until the great protector came and helped them, like, and gave them like magical gifts and like gave them the tools to defeat the dweller in darkness and his army. And the dweller in darkness's army would like steal souls for him to like grow stronger and stronger. But the great protector was like, ow. And the great protector pushed him beyond the gate, and that's what's beyond the gate. And they're like, oh, so the dweller in darkness is probably calling out to y'all daddy, so we need to be ready.
Because Nan explains at that point too that the dweller of darkness, is that what you called it,
the dweller in darkness
has been calling out to people for thousands of years trying to make them open this door.
Wait, but then she's like, when your father started hearing this voice, was he wearing the 10 rings? I was like, oh, yes. Shit!
Because then she also explains that the 10 rings is one of the only things strong enough to open this door. So she's like, that's why they're calling your daddy right now. And this left a lot of implications open. I was like, so what are the 10 rings? Because they're obviously not what we thought they were going to be, you know?
Well, they still could be.
I don't know. It leaves a lot of implications and a lot to wonder. But this whole time that this is happening, Katie is off learning how to shoot a bow and arrow with dragon scales on it. Like, it's badass shit. And she turns out she's kind of good at it, you know? She was like a natural born archer, I guess.
Yeah, which is really good, because they kind of need all the help they could get. Ying Nan is like telling them about their mom. She's like, you know, like, I love my sister. Like, you know, this is our village. This is our home. She explains the story of the Great Protector and the Dweller in Darkness. And Shen-Chi is like, everybody's off learning how to fight. You know, she tells Shailing, she's like, oh, this isn't like your father's home. Like, we all train in Ty Lo as equals. And so Shailing, she's got on her new armor. She's got her little weapon. She's like, going through the form. She's like, I'm ready to freak this. Got it.
I don't even know what those weapons are called, but it was badass. Because it's like dragon scales and like a rope and then dragon scales on both ends of the rope. She's just swinging it around. It's badass.
It is so
cool. I don't
know
what that's called.
And then Katie is learning how to use the bow and the arrow from, I think his name is Guangbo.
Bo. I just remember his name being Bo. So yeah, Bo is like her master, teaching her how to shoot the bow and arrow.
So Shang-Chi ends up, he tries to fight Yingnan, his aunt. Or like, he's like, oh, you know, she's like, oh, let me see your moves. He's like, I'm gonna show you my moves. So when I tell you, she starts beating that ass. It very much in line with the first fight scene between his mom and dad. Like he's, you know, she's going, he's going. And then she folded that hand down too.
And she swapped that leg back too.
Exactly. But first he gets in his little lucky shot. And she's like, but then she swiped that leg back, fold that hand down, and the leaves start moving. And he's looking like, girl, we ain't never even did this before.
We don't do that where I'm from. I'm sorry. And then he still tries to strike her. Are you kidding? If you start airbending around me, I'm not coming near you. I'm not. But he still tries to, and she just uses the wind to throw him across. And then there's another flashback, and it shows Shang's mom was trying to like kind of teach him a little bit, you know, like this is the form, this is how you move, blah blah.
And then you see how she dies, and it's like so sad, because some guys were like,
oh, your husband killed some of my people, so now I have to kill some of his people.
Wait, and unfortunately, the message that she was teaching him when she was pushing them through the form, she said, you know, you're not just the good parts of yourself. You're the dark and the light. And like, until you master that, you don't know who you truly are. And then so the gang comes out and she's like, well, my children have nothing to do with this. And he's like, well, someone has to pay. And then I was like, okay. And she's like, okay, you guys go inside. And then she whispers something to them and like hurries them inside. And then she get in her stance.
There's only like six of them at this point, and that's when she gets in that stance, and I'm like, oh, this is an easy win for her. And then like fucking 30 people more show up, like exactly. Just walk out of nowhere. I was like, oh, come on, she had this until y'all showed up,
you raggedy bitches. Like,
and so they y'all literally just said blood for blood, that's what they said to her, and then kill her.
Wait, and the dad comes back, and then the whole courtyard is like trash. There's several dead bodies on the ground, and the mom is just standing there. She's laying there dead as hell with Shang-Chi, like sitting up. Mom, wake up. Mom, wake up.
Sad as shit. And then it flashes back to the future, or the present, I guess.
Where he's like, Katie, yeah, I went out and killed that dude.
Yeah, yes. Because at first it's like, oh, I didn't kill him.
Oh,
like,
wait, no. Before that, even the flashback goes on, because his dad is like, this is where his dad starts to lose it, because he's like, yeah. If I had never taken these rings off, your mother would still be alive. He's like, it's okay, though. And then he goes and like he was wearing some like casual clothes before. And, you know, he was like, when he dropped all his groceries, because he went like, you going to kill my wife when I go grocery shopping? Oh, I'm coming for that ass.
He just walked up into the stronghold holding bags of groceries like it was the most normal thing. Like, he's like, I just walked down to the village, got some groceries, walked back to my huge stronghold up here. Walk through the front doors with my bags of groceries.
I just want to know if like people knows that he lives there. So he goes, they're at like a little gambling den, right? And so he's there with his like 10-year-old and holding his hand. Or I don't think they were holding hands. Yeah, no. He was just standing there walking awkwardly with the all 10 rings on. So I'm gonna go, it's about to be some shit. So he's like, which one is it? And so he points out the men who were involved with his mom dying. When I tell you, he starts just going at him. He throws the rings. He's like, pop, 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 pop.
He said blood for blood.
So he really killed all these people in front of his like 7-year-old.
Yeah. And this was like a lesson to learn. And all these people in here didn't know, like the guy who killed his mom, they didn't know where he really was at that point, which is why Shang has to go and kill him later. But he really did say blood for blood again. And I was like, that's what got you into this mess. That's why you don't have a wife now.
So they start their battle, and the dad is whooping his ass. Like, so the dad walks smooth through the crowd. First,
Katie's fighting.
Allowed to fight. The old people are like, no, you don't have enough experience. Katie jumps in the fight later. But
so now
Yingnan is like about to go fight his dad. She's like, okay, I got this. Like, she tries to stop him from getting any further. And the death dealer, I think that was the scary mask man's name, jumps in. He's fighting Yingnan. I'm like, okay.
About to get whooped.
Exactly. Like, so everybody's fighting. Shailing is like, boy, if you don't go stop our father. So
And she's fighting Razor Fist.
Yeah, and her, like, they're going pound for pound. Her with her long chain spear with the heavyweight on the other side.
I don't know what it was, but it was badass because she's flipping this thing all over the place.
The bob was moving. It was immaculate. She said stiff wear. So they go, and then after he, you know, is like, oh, your mother, you know, we'll see her again as soon as I open that gate. He's like, Dad, if you open that gate, we're going to be swallowed by darkness. Like, there's a monster on the other side. When I tell you, he was not trying to hear it. He was like, okay. So then they start fighting. And when I tell you they were fighting, in quotation marks, like, they're fighting, really, when I tell you he's dog walking him all the way up and down. He, at one point, is just like, bah!
Did not stand a chance against this man at this time. Because he did that most badass move where he, like, punches Shang up in the air, and then he jumps in the air and uses all the rings to shoot him into the water behind them. And you're like, whoa, hold on. Because it happens quick. First it will happen in slow-mo, but...
He thought he was 50 Cent on power because he was really finna kill his own son.
I'm saying.
And didn't give a damn. First no of all, remorse. I knew you were outmatched as soon as Ying Nan said that your mother knew who she was. And then they showed the flashback, and then his mom was like, the light and the dark, you know, you gotta accept both parts of yourself. Wen Wu was very much the master of himself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go up against somebody who has that kind of self-assurance if you don't. Because he was like, boy, I'll go through you.
It's like I said, he had can't beat my ass though energy the entire time.
And then when I tell you he used the energy that he used from pushing Shang-Chi, went across the water to the gate. This man rappelled over a whole lake.
This is not a small lake though. Like,
it was gigantic.
It was massive.
And when I tell you this gate was high, it was high. And then he hits that gate. He uses all the strength of the rings and is like, ooh, my love, I'll see you on the other side. And the gate
doing it. Because this gate's made of dragon scales, like huge dragon scales. So when he hits it, this whole thing just ripples up. It's really pretty. Like, I'm telling you, the special effects in this movie.
Gorgeous. And he did not stop punching. He was Tristan Stronging it. Like, knocking the mess out of this gate. And
then eventually it, like, doesn't necessarily crack, but since it's rippling, like, these little demon crawly things with wings and tentacles start, like, getting through it as it ripples out. They, like, wiggle their way through.
They're the Dweller in Darkness's army that was previously discussed. And I was like, oh, shit. So I'm like, well, what they finna do? Like, so the dragon scales, they're like, okay, pow, pow.
That first one that comes out, they're like, oh, fuck, that thing came out. And then it picks up the guy in the scary mask and just sucks his soul out, just like
Wait,
that.
Wait, no, because all the people from Tao Lo are like, we have to fight together or we're all going to die. And then Razor Fist is like, we're the mighty Ten Rings. Can't nobody tell us nothing. And they pick up that little Death Dealer man and suck out his soul and just drop his body. He's like, okay, time to team up.
Yeah, then they all team up. Razor Fist gets a sword. He cuts off his own sword and, like, gets a dragon scale sword.
And I hope they took that shit back before they put him out at the end.
I doubt that they did, because just like that, they all became like one good big team.
No, because drop that player.
They did. Okay, see, that made me mad too. I was like, no, we got to kill Razor Fist. This man's acting up. Like, he's got to go. Because
he didn't act it up this whole movie.
Yeah, but no, instead they all worked together.
He cut this bus in half? We are not friends, bitch.
Do you remember
and
that?
And so they're all getting ready to form like a second assault. They're like, well, not a second assault, a second defense. They're like, okay, we're all working together. You know, everybody get armored, like, because they figured out that their little 10 rings, they electric weapons, they ain't doing shit.
Because the whole time, Wen Wu was still up there just beating down this gate.
Beating these like, shit things out are this flying gate. And down. Then, so, like, yeah, they're flying over. But like we said, it's a big ass lake. So they got a little while to fly. They get everybody kitted out. They get ready to start fighting. And they're like,
they had like a good 10 minutes to plan this defense, y'all. Like, it took a minute.
They
for these things to fly.
Quickly. I respect that.
They did.
But so, Shailene is like, Katie, where's my brother? And then he's like, or no, I think Katie might have been like, where's your brother? And then Shailene is like, he's not with you. And then they're like, ah, damn. And then so they get ready to fight for their lives. And then we see Shang-Chi in the water.
At the bottom of the lake, just slowly floating. And this part, again, visually stunning as well, because he's just floating. And then all of a sudden, bubbles start like forming around his body. And then they go up his nostrils and then his nose. And then he can just breathe underwater just like that.
His eyes is open. Oof. He's like, hold on, I'm alive because I can swear my daddy just killed me.
Shit, I thought your daddy just killed you too, but whatever. So then he opens his eyes and in front of him, just giant fucking dragon.
And then there are no words exchanged. There's nothing. Him and the dragon just look each other soulfully in the eyes. I'm like, what are you getting from this?
I thought it was his mom at first, the way that they were looking at each other, because it was a little, there were some feelings going into these looks. Well, you know, no, what I mean?
I kind of got that because the mom told him that the great protector gave them all like magic or whatever. And
but they were like, oh, you don't have powers
because you don't live in Talo anymore. And then she told them that the heart of our dragon beats inside of you. So I was like, oh, they're all connected because you're from this place. I got it. I was like, yes, great protector.
But then it goes back up on top, and up on top it's like they're shooting arrows. Katie's actually shooting arrows and killing things. It's working
because they don't let her in gang now. They're like, look, we need all the help we can get, girl. Go ahead and get your arrows, girl. Put your records on.
And then as they're shooting arrows, all of a sudden, like, homeboy Winwoo's up still just destroying this gate. And then bam bam bam, things are flying out. All of a sudden the great protector flies out the water with Shang on the back, just
and then, like, the great protector eats like the minions. It's like, ah! And
you show like, up to the fight on a dragon.
He's riding a dragon.
So Shang shows up to the fight on this dragon, badass. Like, and then the dragon drops him off at his dad, and they start fighting. But he's not destroying the gate anymore, right? And then Shang is winning this fight. He like somehow figured out his Tai Chi from that soulful exchange with the dragon. It worked, but he's winning.
He's like, I know who I am now. I'm ready. He's like, Dad, like this, you're going to destroy the world. And somehow his father did not hear shit this whole time. Like, there are giant monsters coming out the top of this gate and you don't hear this.
Mm-mm. But then when Shang finally wins the fight, because he does, and he somehow like uses his Tai Chi to get the rings from him, but he doesn't really get the rings from him because he doesn't keep them. He doesn't become the
rings master, but he uses like the same techniques his mom was using at the beginning, where she was using his force, using the rings and turning them against him and manipulating them to his own effect. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, but then when he throws them on the ground and like the fight's over, the fucking, what did you call it? The Dweller in Darkness shows up, destroys the gate, and just busts out there. And you're like, oh fuck, like, how did you do that? Like, we were good for a minute. What the hell? So
just the biggest upset of the movie, like, there were so many twists and turns in this movie, I was honestly shook. The Dweller in Darkness grabs his daddy and eats his soul. When everybody else's soul got eaten, it was lightning quick, but when he grabbed his dad, the soul was pulled out so slow, I think because he was like thousands of years old.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. He's like thousands of years old. There's a lot of soul in there, you know.
And he, like, his dad throws him the rings.
Mm-hmm. And now Shang is the master of the rings. And things are getting serious now, though, because now the great protector has to fight this giant ass piece of shit. And so it becomes like this huge.
So Shai Ling is like, huge, come on, bro, I'm getting on his back, too. Well, she gets on the dragon's back while Shang-Chi is fighting their dad. And then they're going around like she saves the great protector from getting some. Where were they trying to attack the great protector's eye or something? And she uses her strange whip sword swingy thing, and it's like pop, mm-hmm. pop, pop. So the dragon is like, come on, you gang.
And then the dragon starts fighting this thing, but then the dragon somehow loses this fight, kind of. Well, starts to lose the fight
as the Dweller in Darkness gathers more souls. It becomes more and more powerful, and I think it got the drop on the great dragon in that way, because they're like, yeah, they're steadily bringing it the souls of the people of Talo, and it had just eaten Wenwu's soul. So
oh, that's a big one. Yeah, good point.
So he was like,
So then he starts trying to take the dragon's soul. Like, he's pulling its mouth open. He's sucking the soul out. But I guess this dragon's also been alive thousands of years, so it takes a minute, you know?
Yeah. And then Guangbo is like, come on, archers, this is our last chance, girl. No, it was just him and Katie. He was like, I gotta aim for the throat. That's the only way.
And then they come up and kill Guangbo.
And Katie's like, Guangbo. But she's, I'm like, girl, you just met this man today.
One arrow left, and she just aims at this thing, and perfect shot, right down the middle, right into its throat.
Pow! Right in the kisser.
And then the dragon, the great protector, starts winning this fight. Now they do some like cool magic stuff that like we can't explain. That's something you just got to see. Like,
it was like
you have to. Psh, psh, psh,
psh, psh. And then when I tell you Shang-Chi is not, he in this too, and so is Shai Ling. And they are on the back of this dragon, giving the Dweller in Darkness this work. They're flying through the air. They're whipping it. They're like, ah, ah, ah. And then Shang-Chi takes the rings, and this is the best this is the best action sequence. Like, fuck when they kill Thanos. I don't give a shit about that. He takes these rings and makes a perfect circle in this thing's stomach and, like, presses them down and kills it. And when I tell you...
He's hundreds of feet in the air at this point, like hundreds of feet in the air. He's airbending and he's doing all this cool Tai Chi stuff. Like, these techniques are crazy. The air's everywhere. And he, like, forces it all onto this dragon. Or,
and you know what he did in the sky, basically? Oof. Metaphorically? Metaphorically, he put that foot back and folded that hand.
100%. He, not even metaphorically, he did, because he was doing it up there.
In the air, yeah. He was really up in the air doing... He knew he was whipping that thing. He said, he was full on breakdancing midair.
And also, Shang has the rings, and they're gold when he has them, and it's blue whenever Tony Leung had them. It was so that obviously means something. I don't really know what it means, because there's a post-credit scene where they kind of talk about it, but we're not going to tell you the post-credit scenes either. You'll have to watch that yourself.
So, you know, Shang-Chi is victorious. They're like, and then... They just like, they're like, oh, it's dead, yay. And then the next thing you see is she and Katie in San Francisco just talking to their same friends they were having dinner with like about a week ago.
The same friends who were talking shit about them, who said, you need to be doing more with your life. Yeah, they said, like, you have so much potential. And they're like, okay, but look what we just did with our potential. Like, we fought a...
And they were talking mad shit. They were like, you expect us to believe that you went from parking cars to saving the world in a week? First of all, shut up.
And then a little portal opens up behind them, very Doctor Strange-like. But you know it's not Doctor Strange, because, you know, that man's too busy, I guess, to do real things.
They said, no, this is an Asians-only movie. It's Wonk.
And it's Wonk. He walks out and he's like, Shang-Chi, where are you? And it's like, how do you not know? Like, y'all were just in a fight together.
First of all, I just met you. Like,
but the friends are like, oh, okay, so this is kind of like a real thing. Like, y'all did save the world. And then walk in the portal.
The kicker is that he runs up on behind old girl who's talking all this noise and drinks her drink. Like, takes it to the head. He's like...
And then he makes a face like it's disgusting. Like, oh, thanks, you drank my drink and now you're going to talk about it. Like,
he's like, oh, you got bad taste. He hit that. Then freaking Katie's like, okay, bye, guys. And Shang-Chi's like, I'll Venmo you for the drinks.
I know. And then it just fades out right then. So, you know, great movie. How much would you rate this movie?
I would give it a 37 out of 10. The only thing that they did that I didn't like was the soundtrack. The soundtrack, the gold standard for superhero movies for me is Batman 1989. It's like one of my favorite movies, period. Part of the thing that makes the movie good is that the soundtrack was, first of all, it's curated by Prince. Like, all the songs are Prince songs, and they're made explicitly for the movie. They both function as part of the background sound of the movie, and like, when you're listening to the soundtrack, they tell the story of the movie. And they do the same thing with like the Black Panther soundtrack and then Beyonce's companion piece to The Lion King, The Gift. This soundtrack does not do that. It's like, I feel like the song In the Dark needed a rap. Always Rising, it didn't need any rap because the rap was ass. I hated the rap on Clapped Out. Foolish, that's my shit, but one of those people can't rap. Hot Soup was kind of depressing, but it fit the movie. A lot of the songs in the middle, especially the songs by Nicki, I think they were really good songs, but they don't match the movie. Well, the one thing that I thought was really cool though is that it's by 88 Rising, which is like a music company that puts out the music of like Asian and Asian American artists in the United States, which that was really cool. I guess it had been better.
I also wanted to say, I think that the Dweller in Darkness is supposed to be a deviant, which is what's going to lead up into the Eternals movie, but I actually don't know enough about that to like say that with my whole chest. I just have a feeling that's where that's going to be.
Keeping it real with you guys, we're going to spend the next couple of months doing a lot of research because neither one of us knows shit about the Eternals. We are X-Men people.
We know that the cast is great.
Oh, that's, yeah,
a great cast.
I just found out Salma Hayek was in the movie. I'm so excited. I don't know. I'm really excited to have seen Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I would absolutely recommend it to everybody. The cast was great. That's all for this week's episode of True Believers.
So thank you for listening and all of the continued support that you guys give us. We would like to take some time to give a very special shout out to Cecilia. Thank you for everything you do.
We will see you next Wednesday, September 22nd, where we will be joined by a very special guest and discussing Fangs by Sarah Anderson. We are available on all major streaming platforms except for that low-hanging fruit, Pandora. And if you'd like the show, please leave us a review and continue sharing with your friends. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what we read or watch, you can find and DM us on Instagram at True Believers Pod and on Twitter at True Believers P, or you can even email us at 1TrueBelieversP truebelieverspod@gmail.com. We also have a TikTok @truebelieverspod. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, guys.